Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, as if we didn't need more news, we're going to talk about the news as the news right now. So there's been a major shift in what I would call the media landscape. And it's not like I have years of experience with this, but even me as a new guy in the media world can see it. If you look at it right now, you can see that the White House Correspondents Association is no longer allowed to pick who gets to ask questions in the press pool. You got non-traditional outlets and content creators in online media that are being given entree to the White House, to the Pentagon, to others. You've got any number of people that are more influential than CNN and more influential than NBC and more, and they're all in non-traditional means. Well, one guy who's been around media forever is somebody you hear on this show all the time, but you may not recognize all of his background. So Jeff Poor, who is currently the editor-in-chief of 1819 News, he also has his own radio show down on FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile. But Jeff started off working with Tucker Carlson at Daily Caller back in the day. He worked with Steve Bannon. He's still to this day part-time editorial staff at Breitbart. He does a column for Lanyap, and there's 1819. All that to say, he's been around. I thought I'd get his perspective on what we're seeing. Jeff Poor, how you doing, man?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Well, by the way, Fat Tuesday, you've been down there in the thick of things in Mobile.
Yeah. So the last couple of years, or I guess now 3 years, I will go down to the Fat Tuesday sort of afternoon slate of parades, the 10 to 12:30 parades. Not too wild. A little more wild than what goes on in Fairhope where I live on the Mardi Gras docket. But we do get the Comet Cowboys and KOR, and it's a good we are inundated with Mardi Gras throws at our house right now.
Yeah, having spent 8 to 10 years, I believe it was, in Mobile, people don't realize in North Alabama that Mobile, downtown Mobile, shuts down during Mardi Gras.
Well, the whole city shuts down. I mean, yeah. I was a student at South Alabama. I mean, yeah. We got out of school. Didn't work. They would close the banks if they could get away with it. But yeah, it's just like its own little regional holiday.
Well, nonetheless, you still work, and so let me ask you this: as we're watching, it's as if the mainstream media is trying to figure out how to play catch up on what has happened with the shift. I mean, when you've got somebody like Joe Rogan, who had more influence on the national landscape for the election season than even Fox News did, give me your thoughts.
Well, I've always thought, and I think before November 11th, I really believe the media's impact was exaggerated, that especially in the eyes of politicians on Capitol Hill, or anywhere else for that matter, and high finance and, you know, all these different sectors of, like, just, you know, high tech and things like that, that they were really scared of the media. And I thought the media kind of led the charge. They made us believe, Senator, that the country was way more to the left than it really was, than what reality is.
Yeah.
It was trying to create this perception. And so you saw this, right? You saw, like, national brands, you know, leaning into the woke, leaning into the Black Lives Matter, trying to, you know, make a social impression. You saw it with tech. We saw it with the way they, you know, they handle a lot of, you know, language and things like that. And with the media, they created that. And then November 5th, 2024 sort of said, well, no, that's not real where the country is at all.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and this was the media's best shot. Hitler, Trump equal Hitler, and then all these conspiracy theories. And, you know, remember Madison Square Garden, they were trying to recreate a Nazi rally or some nonsense. And you thought, well, you know, that asymmetrical coverage, it's over. You know, Trump is done. And he wins the popular vote. It's only been done twice, since Reagan. And or since George Bush the first, and he disproved all that.
Yeah, he absolutely did. I mean,
so here's what you need to know, Senator. it is not cheap to run one of these mainstream media outlets. These are highly educated people. They make big six-figure salaries. They live in the most posh neighborhoods of D.C. and New York. It is very, very expensive to run the Washington Post. It is very expensive to run CBS News. I mean, these things are gold plate Cadillac plans. And these holding companies, the way they've always approached it was, well, look, we may lose money. This may be like a very, very expensive endeavor, but we get the satisfaction of having like a sway in the national conversation. We move bills on Capitol Hill. We impact elections. And guess what? When November 5th happened, it was like, no, you don't. You don't have any sway. You're not influential. Well, and that was like the big wake-up call, right? Yeah. The big wake-up call. It probably in the days leading up to it, when it looked like Trump was going to beat her, Kamala Harris, that's when you saw a little bit of backing off from Jeff Bezos and others. But I think now everybody's kind of waking up to this, and you're starting to see these big holding companies and own these big media properties look at these news gathering operations, and they're like, why are we paying for this?
Absolutely. And I look at it and I think, you know, first of all, so 1819 and Right Side, we both started around the same time, and we can pivot to things easier. We're more flexible, and we're not bound to having to go into all the print medium and do the things and have to maintain the super high dollar, you know, studios. And there's a place for that still, but there's been a complete sea change. I mean, even right now, the White House Press Association is trying to figure out what just happened, because they no longer have the absolute sway over the White House anymore. They've been told there's a new sheriff in town, and the content creators are given just as much entree, if you will. You were there back in the beginning with Daily Caller. I mean, Daily Caller was one of the early forays into internet-based news sourcing. What was it like back in the early days?
Well, back in the early days, I mean, you know, I assume most of your audience probably watched Tucker Carlson with his old Fox News.
Sure.
And he did the monologues, and that was like kind of must-watch TV. That was our editorial meeting, except with a little more profanity. You could get away with that editorial meeting. But yeah, you saw what Tucker Carlson was. I mean, I go back before that, Senator. It was like the Drudge Report before Matt Drudge went crazy. That was where, you know, you got your bang for your buck. You'd get something on the Drudge Report, and that moved the needle. That got the news narrative sort of rolling in a certain direction. Back when he was still conservative, kind of dining off the Monica Lewinsky stardom. But when Tucker started that site, he had just been fired by MSNBC, and because he went from CNN Crossfire. We remember the Jon Stewart episode, and Jon Stewart kind of ended that show, and then Tucker winds up with like a mid-afternoon show on MSNBC, and it lasted a few years. He got fired, and then that's when he launched the Daily Caller. But there were a lot of startups around that era. I mean, there was, that's when Breitbart really first started taking off. You had the Free Beacon, you had some that are no longer with us, like the Weekly Standard and things like that.
Bill Kristol fading away into Never Trump Land.
Yes. Well, and like when I was in D.C., like you would go to like these conservative movement sort of gatherings, right? And we were all one big happy family. I mean, Bill Kristol was, you know, there drinking a beer with us, and we were, you know, I mean, that was before MAGA, that was pre Donald Trump, you know, like Charles Krauthammer, you'd see guys like that, or just around at these gatherings, and Trump, in some ways, when he came along, I mean, there was a big schism in the conservative side of the media equation, and it's still to this day, there's still people like Quinn Hillier and. You know, they just have not gotten over that.
No, they haven't. Well, listen, with about 2 or 3 minutes left here, so where do you see it going? I mean, is print media going by the wayside? And I think radio has still got huge room left to move, but even radio is starting to run parallel to podcasting. What are your thoughts on what's the next big foray into media?
I mean, they're going to get rid of the big salaries, like Joy Reid earning $3 million a year, right? Like, I mean, $3 million.
I'll do it for half that. How about that?
Like the show she's got replacing her is going to have three people on it making probably a quarter of that. I mean, it's just you're going to see a lot of cost-cutting measures. You're going to see these big-name personalities kind of go by the wayside. There's no return on investment there. And I think print media, you'll always have the big newspapers. I mean, they'll just print a copy. It's like a legacy vanity thing, but it'll always be there. It won't be as important as it is. You know, what the online media do. I think radio, I think the days of corporate radio are in trouble here. And I don't know if you're on any corporate stations, but some of these radio clusters, I mean, the big radio companies came in and they bought all these properties up and they thought that they could do it, you know, kind of use synergy and like one source ad sales. And that's turned out not to be a good idea. I think you're going to see it go back to the way it used to be, more independent mom and pop type operations.
Would not be a bit surprised. I think a good day, too, you guys, 1819 News started, and you've got press access, and that was even a thing at first, wasn't it, in the State House here in Alabama, just to get press pool access, didn't you?
Well, no, it's easy to get press pool access and the press gallery, but they don't, there's no point in it. They don't do anything. They don't have sources. The media in this state, for the most part, in that press pool, is left of center.
Oh my God!
They don't talk to Republicans, and Republicans don't talk to them because they don't trust them. So it's not like really any news gathering because the Democrats are not in the know. They don't know anything, and it's kind of a weird upside down place. And that's why like the 1819 Yellowhammer places like that sort of thrive right now.
Well, more to come, I think. And I think that what we're seeing with the White House's direct, and of course, Trump even owns his own Trump Media and Truth Social. So, you know, he was going to lean towards non-traditional anyway at some point. But anyway, plenty of room in the world to come. Media shifting. But Jeff Poore has been there since the beginning. Jeff, thanks for your comments, man. We appreciate your time.
Hey, thank you for having me on.
All right. See you, buddy. All right, you'll hear him probably tomorrow, too, on the Grand Council right here with him and Dale Jackson calling in on Wednesdays. We do that every Wednesday. But in the meantime, we're taking a break right now. I'll come back and give you some more thoughts on this when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades. Yeah, so I'm not kidding about this change of the landscape for media. And I'm going to come back to that in a minute, but speaking of things you might want to know about, we got a giveaway going on right now. So you may remember that Kirk Cameron, the actor, was on the show, what, 2 weeks ago? Two, 3 weeks ago? He's going to be on again this Friday is the expectation. We're planning for him to be in studio this coming Friday because he is making the rounds. He's setting up these events all over. He's going and doing book readings to kids at schools, but then he's doing an event at night in each town that he's in. And it's a faith and family tour, and it's really high quality. It's an amazing event, and he's doing one right here in Gadsden, Alabama, where we have our studio. And so we're giving away tickets, plus merchandise from Right Side, plus merchandise from Kirk Cameron, plus autographed books. All said and done, we got the giveaway. Remind me how we're doing this. It's through social media, right?
Yeah, so we're doing it on Right Side Media's Twitter and your personal Facebook. Just look up Phil Williams on Facebook, and he should be one of the top ones. But all the directions are there on the Twitter and the Facebook if you guys want to go there and check it out. We're picking a winner each day on our Twitter up into the event. Free tickets, but also there's a signed Kirk Cameron book included in it and a merch item of your choice at the event that you can choose from. So, yeah, y'all go check out the social media. But we're also doing, if you have bought a ticket or are going to buy a ticket, text in a screenshot of your receipt to the text line, and we will randomly pick one winner from that to win a Right Side Media merch bundle. So you can pick that up at the event as well.
Yeah, we're talking about the Right Side merch bundle is actually got like $50 or more in value. It's what, a hat, T-shirt, and a coffee mug?
I believe that was,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Mm-hmm. And we're about to add more stuff to that Right Side store pretty soon.
Stay tuned.
I happen to know because we had a meeting the other day about picking out more merch.
But yeah, y'all could, I mean, who's going to turn down free tickets? See Kirk Cameron and Gaston?
Free stuff.
I mean, yeah, who's turning down free stuff?
Free stuff.
So yeah, go to our social media, check it out.
Absolutely. Good stuff, man. Thank you for doing that. You and Butter set that up. Good job. So, yeah, back on this discussion about media, let me talk about that for a few more minutes. I can't convey enough how seismic this is. The world of media has always been influential, and it will remain that way. But in the day, it was, you know, the New York Times with all the news fit to print, and the Gray Lady from New York City. And you can think back on, you know, major stories. Like there's even discussion about whether or not the Spanish-American War was William Randolph Hearst saying, "You raise an army, I'll give you a war," and he provoked it with media. I don't know. That's kind of an urban legend, but it's pretty much given to be true. All these things happen because the media has a voice in topics, and you want to believe that the media is always going to be objective and unbiased and all that, but it's not always that way. That's why I would encourage you guys to know who your sources are and to pick the ones you trust, and then occasionally go and read the ones you don't like just to know what the other side is saying, because it is rare today to find that there is completely unbiased media. That being said, there are dominant media outlets, and we all know it. I mean, you can look at it, the CNNs, the Foxes, even to some degree the MSNBCs, they have their place, and they have their own audience, but they have clout because of their size. But what has happened in recent years is that the press pool has expanded, and in this administration now, it has rocked the world of especially the White House press pool. I mean, even in the Pentagon, Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, he issued an order that some of the major media outlets that have had offices in the Pentagon for years had to vacate their offices and give them to groups like Breitbart and other organizations that have never had entree into the Pentagon with a permanent duty station there. That's seismic in the world of media. And then you got this one, like I got a piece from Fox. The White House Correspondents Association will no longer be responsible for determining which outlets get privileged access to the briefing room. Think about this. The big dogs in media used to decide whether the little dogs had any opportunity to be in the room. What does that tell you? They're screening. All that to say, all that changed. It all changed just in the last couple of weeks, as the White House Correspondents Association is told they will no longer be able to tell who comes into the room. The Trump administration will. And some are saying, that means they're picking and choosing. No, they're expanding. You've got content creators like crazy that are now... We had 7,000 new media press pass applications. It's a whole new day. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. More of this when we get back. Y'all stay tuned. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Goes from Huntsville back on over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden. I mean all the way down to that prettiest little town on the plains called Auburn and heading over to Fort Benning, Georgia. And yes, there are big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. So, by the way, I got to tell you guys, in case you're not tracking, I mentioned merchandise earlier. I want to encourage you to check out the new merch store. So, rightsidemedia.org. Right Side Radio is one production of Right Side Media. Right Side Media has multiple podcasts, and we have all kinds of stuff going on. We have the written stuff that goes out to news outlets all over the region every week. And you can go to our website, rightsidemedia.org, which a bunch of you already do, because we can tell because we can see the click rates. But we have a new merchandise store on there. And listen, we got the hats, we got the coffee mugs, we got the T-shirts, and then we got one of my favorites. In fact, I would encourage you to go check it out. We got the Bulletproof Influence glasses. So this is literally, it's a highball glass with the Right Side Media logo engraved in it and the words Bulletproof Influence. And there's a 308 round bullet embedded in the glass. And it says Bulletproof Influence. I mean, how cool is that? So go check out the merch store. All the stuff's on there, and we're adding more merch here very soon. So stand by for that. But it's amazing how many of y'all have already ordered. I think we may be almost halfway through the bullet glasses.
Just about.
It's just more stock.
They're pretty awesome.
More stock. Pretty awesome problem to have.
Yeah.
I had to, just because, you know, I'm fine with being a head chef and bottle washer. I went this weekend and got new shelves for the stock room. Because we were having to store stuff. Good problem to have.
Yeah.
Yeah, check out the merch store, rightsidemedia.org. That's the website. It's on there. All the stuff. And I guess, you know what? As long as I'm doing shameless plugs, one last thing is the newsletter. So we have thousands of y'all now that now get the daily Right Side Report newsletter. It goes out every single day. Thank you to Butters, who puts together that every day for us. But the Right Side Report newsletter, if you want it, if you want to see all the things, if you want to know in advance what's going to be on the show, if you want to know when the podcasts are, if you want to see the new merchandise, if you want stuff in advance, there's no cost, there's no paywall, there's no nothing. It just comes to your email. This number we use every day on the show, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Just text the word newsletter, and you will get an automatic response back that says, you know, here's how you sign up. And then we'll get you right on in there. So, yeah, you want to be on the Right Side Report newsletter? Just text the word newsletter by itself, nothing else, to 833-687-4448. Yeah, it's amazing how quickly that thing grew. Just like crazy. I was actually on the phone with some folks this morning talking about, you know, things related to our numbers, and they're like, oh, my gosh, that's cool. So, anyway, yay. Joe from Meltmont texted in. He says, I'd like to see Trump. This is his speech tonight. I'd like to see Trump read the names off of the Epstein client list.
That'd be an epic, grand opening.
Oh, my gosh. There's more of the text, though. He says, read the names of the Epstein client list tonight at his speech and immediately have FBI agents come in and arrest members of Congress that are on the list while he's reading it. Holy crap.
By the way, did you see Pam Bondi on Fox said that a truckload of all the other FBI documents showed up, and the FBI chief from the Southern District of New York, which was withholding it from her, resigned. So they're apparently reviewing all of the files now.
Oh, yeah. When you say a truckload, too, that builds the connotation that there was a whole lot they didn't turn over.
What was it, like only 100 or so pages of the first one?
She said they now have thousands of more pages of documents and evidentiary matters they're having to go through. And I'm going to tell you right now, the world is now hungry for this because we feel like it got shafted on the last go-round.
Mm-hmm.
Other breaking news, Zelensky has apparently changed his tone. Nobody saw that coming, ever.
Or he was told to change his tone.
Well, that's probably a little bit of both.
Yeah.
But he has changed his tone. He has now signaled that he is absolutely ready to come back and negotiate, that he thinks that the meeting did not go the way it was intended. He wants to get back and talk a little bit. And he also said in his personal tweet was that he is ready to come and sign the agreement for the mineral rights that was discussed. Okay, cool. Just a moment ago, right before we went back on the air from the last break, Vice President J.D. Vance was being interviewed in the hallway by reporters because this is the most accessible administration we've probably ever had. But J.D. Vance said, but we're still turning off the foreign aid to Ukraine right now, and he's going to have to negotiate in good faith to get it turned back on. I'm telling you, Zelensky hosed this thing, man.
Yeah.
Hosed it. Hosed it hard. Like flogging hard. Okay, Shag Nasty the Atheist, what do you got going on? He says Trump ain't going to read his own name. Oh, dun, dun, dun.
You know, I think if it was on the list, he wouldn't be having it be released.
Yeah. Why would he make it a campaign promise if he was on the list? Please. By the way, Shag Nasty does believe that the change in the media landscape is, he calls it a propaganda purge.
Maybe it's just what the world is coming to. Why would you put people who don't even know the names of and put a content creator that gets twice even more the amount of views?
Yeah, that's exactly right. There's a reason why Kamala Harris went to Call Her Daddy. Because Call Her Daddy, which was still an awful choice, by the way. You went to a young lady's sex talk for your campaign. But Call Her Daddy, I will admit, has a lot of followers. And they knew that. And they knew that it was bigger than doing a interview with, you know, somebody on one of the networks.
And if it was a propaganda purge, I don't think Caitlin Collins would be allowed back. And she is. She comes back every week.
Shag Nasty, the atheist, chiming in again saying, Shag Nasty, why don't you just call in?
Yeah.
Just call in. We'll find out if you're a guy or a girl because we don't know because you won't tell us. But Shag Nasty says, is it views over truth? Look, Shag Nasty calls this a propaganda purge. Keep in mind what you just said was they're purging out the propaganda. Oh, that means that the ones who don't get it right, who are constantly espousing propaganda and what their word is, misinformation, are the ones who are being asked to step aside, which, by the way, I go to this story. Well, Yahoo.com. The Pentagon is changing which media outlets have closest access. So, in a major shakeup for the Pentagon Correspondents' Corridor, Pentagon spokesman Jonathan Ulyatt announced that the Pentagon Press Association, that the New York Times, NBC, National Public Radio, NPR, and Politico would all have to vacate their office space in order to make room for the New York Post, Breitbart News, One American News Network, and the Huffington Post. Oh, by the way, Huffington Post, not known for being conservative, so don't say this is a complete, like, flip-the-script kind of group. Huffington Post and even OAN sometimes can say things that people are like, wait, what just happened? And then I go to this one. How about this one? Under Trump 2.0, content creators have entree to the White House. So Caroline Leavitt, the new press secretary for the Trump administration, says millions of Americans, particularly young people, have shifted away from traditional television and newspapers to consume news through podcasts, blogs, social media, and other independent platforms. So, she said, the seats along the wall at the front of the briefing room, traditionally reserved for White House press staff, will now be designated as the new media seats. New media seats. They invited independent journalists, podcasters, social media influencers, and content creators to apply for White House press credentials and take their seats in the room. They said they would restore also 440 press passes that had been revoked under the Biden administration. Let that sink in, Shagnasty, that the Biden administration had revoked over 440 press passes, and it is Trump who's returning those. Oh, by the way, that leads me to my next article. Where did it go? I just had it in my hands. Where? I just lost it. Hang on. There it is. Pulled this one off of The Hill. TheHill.com. White House is now hit with more than 7,000 new media press pass applications. So after they opened this up, the response was overwhelming. Leavitt said she envisions a more equitable briefing room during her time as press secretary. By the way, I'm pretty sure TheHill.com is the one that used the word equitable. Anyway, one where she can speak to all media outlets and personalities. 7,000 new applications, the restoration of 440 previously Biden-revoked applications, constant access to the media. They can just stop Trump, you know, at any given time and talk to him, or J.D. Vance and talk to him. Rubio making the rounds on the Sunday talk shows. You got literally, and by the way, Rubio making the rounds means all the networks. He was going at it with Jake Tapper on CNN. George Stephanopoulos. So this is media reimagined. What you got?
By the way, it goes both ways. I'd much rather hear from the much more popular content creators on the left than some random person from Huffington Post or the AP. It's like, who is this person? Like, I'd rather hear from the opposition that are content creators as well than these random talking heads that are being combative. It's like, I don't even know who you are. It's like, it goes both ways. And with his, you know, views over truth statement, the people who are getting more views because they're actually telling the truth. And the ones who aren't getting views because they're tired of the constant same talking points that are lies. So,
and here's the thing. I do think there's going to be a need for some professionalism, some ground rules. You know, people who have been used to doing a podcast, you know, wearing a t-shirt and no pants, may have to actually put on a suit if they want to go in the White House press room. That's to be expected. I do think too, and I know you and I talked about this on the air yesterday, that the comment or the question that was thrown out at Zelensky by one of the new media members who was in the Oval Office, who said, "Don't you own a suit?" I felt like that was designed to provoke, and it was not necessarily news. It was more like, I'm used to being a provocateur, and I'm still in that provocateur mode. Some of these folks are going to have to recognize they may have to have a different level of professionalism when they do what they do, but at the same time, they've earned the right to be there.
Yeah, I don't know how crazy I am about content creators talking to foreign leaders, you know. I think it'd be awesome for them to be talking to the press secretary so they can actually ask, you know, like actual good questions. But yeah, I'm not so sure if I want a lot of the content creators who are used to, you know, saying brash stuff talking to foreign leaders like that. I don't know how crazy I am about that. But I think, hey, put them in the press secretary room. Like, they should be there just as much as the other media outlets, I would say.
And some of the biggest stories in the nation have been broken by non-traditional outlets. even right here in Alabama, when Yellowhammer first started, Yellowhammer was the thing. It was the go-to spot. It was the one you wanted to have your name in as a conservative. And Yellowhammer is the one that broke the story about Governor Bentley having an affair, and it brought down his entire administration. And that was a non-traditional. It didn't go to AL.com, the Huntsville Times, the Mobile Press Register, the Montgomery Advertiser. None of them had the story. It went to Yellowhammer. They broke the story, and it went viral, and it literally took down an administration. But it was a well-resourced story. But it was a non-traditional outlet that found it, and I think you're going to see more of that. I mean, look at things like, I think Project Veritas is inflammatory at times, but they have broken more stories because they're willing to go places that the media won't typically go. Mm-hmm. Anyway, more on that. We got plenty of stuff, but we're going to come back and take a few text messages and wrap up the day. Y'all, it's about go-home time. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.